opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. I am not your regularly scheduled host, Peter Fella. Peter and his wife, Anne, who also does the show with him usually, are right now somewhere in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on a cruise, probably listening to the show. They said they would. My name is Jay Gumer. I am the director of TBI and NHTD waiver services for A&T Healthcare. And so that they were able to go on a vacation, they have asked me to pinch hit. And I have to tell you, Peter loves doing this show more than a lot of things. Our engineer is nodding his head, yes. And for him to not be here to do the show would take a lot. So the fact that he and Anne were finally able to take a vacation was very excited for them. This show is called Health Matters. It is brought to you by A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare is a home health agency, and they have offices in Kingston, in Newburgh. Their main office is in New City. They have an office in Manhattan. They have a satellite office in Mount Kisco. And then also there's another agency, A&T of New Jersey, also as well. A&T Healthcare provides nurses, aides, other health-related information and tasks to people in the community. And we are, in fact, an equal opportunity employer. And we also are an equal opportunity server of the community. So anything you would like to have health-wise provided in your home, please give us a call. In Orange County, the number for the Orange County office in Newburgh is 845-561-7900. Or you're always more than welcome to call the home office in New City. And their number is 845-638-4342. So, A&T Healthcare, I am the director of NHTD and TBI waiver services for A&T Healthcare, and a lot of people that don't know what that is, they say, Jay, what does that mean, waiver services? Well, I'll tell you. Briefly, I can tell you. Waiver services is a service that helps people basically stay in the community and not have to go into nursing homes, whether they have a traumatic brain injury or whether they don't and still need to be in a nursing home. The job of the waiver program is to try to keep people out of nursing homes. If you want more information about the waiver program, and it is a Medicaid waiver program, so you either have to have Medicaid or be in the process of obtaining Medicaid. But if you want more information, you're always welcome to give me a call. I actually primarily am out of the Kingston office of A&T. And the number in the Kingston office is 845-331-7868. Okay, let's move forward. So we are honored to be broadcasting every week right here on WTBQ on many health-related topics and subjects. We try to be not controversial. We try to be not contentious or non-confrontational. But we are engaging, informative, and entertaining, hopefully. And, you know, the great thing about this show, and Peter says it every week, and I even say it too, that I've been here three times doing the show as a guest. Today I'm here as the host of the show, filling in for Peter and Anne. But the great thing about this show is even us who are in healthcare every single day providing services for people, we are always learning something from the show. Today is going to be no exception, and I'll introduce what we're going to be doing today in the show in a little while. But I want to remind everyone that while we do the show, we always accept questions or comments on whatever the topic of the day is. And if you'd like to call in and discuss the topic, or if you have another health-related question that we can try to answer, the number at the studio, once again, is 845-651-1110. A couple of quick things I just want to talk about. First of all, A&T has a Facebook page, and there's a lot of interesting subject matter on that. If you look up A&T Healthcare, you should be able to find the Facebook page. A lot of good information on there. And you know, if you want to send us a message or if you have a comment, if you're served by A&T Healthcare and you have something you'd like to say about us, please feel free to do that. A couple other things I just want to mention. I would be hard pressed to not sit here the day after the Mets make it to the World Series and not say something about it. So I want to say, listen, I, little disclosure, I am a Yankee fan. But I'm one of the Yankee fans that have, you know, a soft spot in my heart for the Mets, especially this team who really they're a likable bunch of guys, you know, and I, you know, really hope they do well, especially if they play the Blue Jays as a Yankee fan. If not, still, I hope they do well. But I just wanted to congratulate the Mets, and especially the Met fans who have stuck with them over the years through a thick and a lot of thin. So I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that. Just want to also mention that as far as healthcare goes, nobody really plans on needing healthcare, but it's always nice to find out information about things before you truly, truly need it. So, you know, I mentioned before the numbers to call A&T to ask some questions. Even if you're not in the process of needing home care right now, you know, give us a call and ask us questions, because there may be something that you need in the future, and you know, you don't want to have to scramble and run around trying to find something if there's somebody out there right now that can give you information for the future, whether it's for you, whether it's for a family member, whatever you need. Or if anything, you can always give me a call at the Kingston office, again, 845-331-7868. And you can always ask me questions, and I can point you in the right direction of a person that would know the answer to whatever question you're asking. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware that you know, the best thing to do is plan ahead. I'm really bad at planning ahead, so I really have a good reason to tell everybody that they should do it. Speaking of knowing that I'm really bad at planning ahead, today, as a guest on the show, we actually have my mother here. A&T is a family-run organization. It is run by the Babington family and all of the people around the Babington family, and they're wonderful people. And I thought that for me, the first day to host a show, a good person to have on would be my mother. And not just because I love her and she's my mother, but because she actually is in charge of, she's a transplant coordinator for the Kingston Hospital, which is a part of the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in the city of Kingston, County of Ulster, probably around the outlying areas as well. I mean, you'll talk more about it. And her name is Marlene Gamir. And she, like I said, she runs the transplant coordination for the area of Ulster County. And I thought my first time coming on would be a really good opportunity to talk about organ and tissue donation. So I'm going to introduce my mother, Marlene Gamir. How you doing?
Hi. Thanks for having me here, Jay.
Okay. So just generally speaking, how did you get involved with organ and tissue transplant and, you know, kind of like your process to that point?
Well, I've worked in healthcare for 44 years. I've been an LPN that long, and I became an assistant social worker. I got my bachelor's degree when I was 50, so yes, it can be done at a later age. I've been a transplant coordinator there for about 16 years at Kingston Dialysis, and it is so rewarding to me to see people get transplants. This year so far, I've had 8 people receive a kidney, and they no longer have to come to dialysis 3 times a week. Later, we're going to actually talk to somebody that received a transplant this year and how he was affected by it.
Right.
But I started a campaign about 10 years ago for Donate Life, and it's one of my passions, actually. I would go to different businesses and functions and set up tables, hand out material, and talk to people about how to sign up to be an organ donor.
Did you take initiative to do this on your own, or did somebody ask you to start doing this?
No, it was just on my own. As I say, seeing my patients receive kidneys, which is the thing that I know best, obviously, since I work in dialysis, made me really want to try to get more people to donate. My entire family are organ donors. I feel very passionate that you don't need those organs after you're gone. I do a lot of counseling for patients when they're at end-of-life issues, and I feel that it really gives people a new start in life. So as I say, it's just become my passion.
Okay, great. Do you have you had any can you tell me a little bit about some connections that you've made as far as organ donations, you know, hooking people up with different things one way or the other, and, you know, getting people involved?
Well, I have worked with the Center for Donation Control up in Albany, which is our local one. There are 4 procurement centers in New York State. So I have worked with them, and I've got another staff to be involved, and they've come out at various times to help me. And there's other people in the community, some from Health Alliance Hospital, that go on and do, you know, organ donation. They kind of do their own thing at the hospital, but they're involved every time there is a death of anybody, no matter what the age, what the reason. The procurement centers need to be called and notified, even if it's an imminent death. And then they make a decision whether or not an organ can be used. So if it is a person with brain death, then they will contact the family and go from there. But we can talk about that more later.
Right. So a person has to be brain dead in order to be able to actually donate their
Correct.
Organs. Okay. And that's hopefully something that nobody would have to suffer through, but at least if it happens, then there could be something positive out of it.
Exactly, and that's why it's so important to have those conversations with your family before something happens, because you never know.
Okay. Just generally speaking, when you talk about organ and tissue donation, what kind of organs have you assisted with the process of donation? What kind of organs?
Well, mostly, I do kidney transplants. Okay. And 90% of the organs that are used are from kidneys.
All right. All right, we'll talk more of that when we come back from the break. Also, we're going to talk about statistics and myths in regards to organ and tissue donation. We'll be back on Health Matters on WTBQ.
ANC Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home healthcare aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. ANC Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. ANC Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric, high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. ANC Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, ANC Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
This is Wayne Patterson of Better Homes and Gardens Rand Realty and host of The Real Estate Show, heard every Monday at 10 a.m. where you can learn how to buy and sell properties on WTBQ. Radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Austin DuBois of Bluestein Shapiro, Rich and Barone. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for It's the Law and learn what the law is. Ask questions, get answers right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ. Hi, and we're back on Health Matters, sponsored to you by ANT Healthcare on WTBQ. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the types of organs you've helped with the process, or you know, the different kinds of organs that you could donate in the process. You had talked about kidneys. Obviously, you're in the dialysis center. That's primarily the organ that you work with. Is there anything else that you've kind of helped with the process as a part of?
I've had one patient get a liver with her kidney, and another patient get a pancreas. Right now I have a young guy who needs a heart and a kidney. He's already had one heart transplant, he needs another. So he's waiting for that to happen. Of course, these are done in the big transplant centers like in New York City.
Right.
So we don't do much of those around here, but.
Okay. Also, we talked about the fact that we were going to start talking about statistics about organ donation, tissue donation, and some myths. But let's get to the boring part first of the statistics, because sure. Everybody's like, oh, statistics, right?
Yep.
Oh, God, I don't want to hear about statistics. But you know what? I think it's important that some people know what the statistics are, and then start talking about the myths and what the facts are. So what statistics do you have about it?
Some of those. So 45% of all Americans are registered donors. So they've done what they needed to do. They knew about organ donation. They agreed with it. They either had it done on the back of their license at the DMV, or they've had it put on their healthcare proxy. There's a section there, and you can specify there. If you don't want, say you don't want to donate your eyes, you can say, I would like to donate everything except my eyes.
So let's just clear, because most mm-hmm. people, they're not going to do it at the DMV, I'm guessing. The people we've actually had a show on healthcare proxies, advanced directives in the past, which I actually was a part of. And just the reason why I'm bringing it up now is because I want people to understand exactly what a healthcare proxy is in case they had missed that show. Do you want to explain what a healthcare proxy is?
Well, a healthcare proxy shows that you've had a conversation with what they call an agent or an alternate agent, if you would like. This is somebody that you give permission to make decisions for you only when you're not able to do that. So if you're in a coma for 2 weeks, your healthcare agents can make decisions for you based on what you have told them in the past. So you need to have conversations. It's very difficult for some people to talk about death and dying, but it's so important, because when you're not able to make those decisions, you need to have somebody be your voice.
Right. So there's a form that you can do in a hospital setting, a nursing home setting, whatever. As long as you're deemed competent enough to do this form, you can assign this person. And part of assigning the person to the healthcare proxy could be also saying that you would like to donate organ or tissue.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So that can be filled out, and it can be filled out, you know, with concessions. So some of the types of organs that can be transplanted are heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, pancreas, and intestines. And then you have all kinds of tissue. As you know, tissue is used in burn victims, bone, cartilage, corneas, heart valves, ligaments. So there's all kinds of things that can be donated. Tissue can be preserved for up to 5 years. That's something new that I learned. So like you say, even being in the business a long time, we're always learning new things, right?
Okay.
So what's interesting to me is that 90% of all adults in Alaska are registered as organ donors.
So hold on a second. Mm-hmm. You said before that 45% of Americans mm-hmm. were registered.
Correct.
And 90% of Alaskans?
Right.
Is there a reason for that?
I don't know what that reason is. I'd love to find out.
Okay, that's interesting, actually.
Here's the sad statistic. New York State is the lowest at 12.7%. So
we need to do something about that.
Do.
Hopefully this will start helping the process.
We do. So over 130 people in the United States are waiting for an organ transplant. 90% of those need a kidney transplant, so obviously that is the greatest percentage. The next is a liver.
So, okay, my question is, why do you think there's a reason that kidneys, I mean, health-related in societies, or is there a reason that maybe kidneys are the most statistics?
Well, I know by my unit that it's growing and growing. People are living longer. More and more people are starting kidney dialysis at a later age. I just started a man who was 88 years old. Years ago, that would not have been done. We can keep somebody alive for up to 20 years on kidney dialysis, and, you know, they won't die needing a kidney. They'll die from other things, but not needing a kidney, so because they're on kidney dialysis.
Right. Okay.
So, about 79 people receive a transplant each day, and 22 die each day waiting for an organ. Mm. So lots of times those are hearts or lungs that, you know, people cannot survive without it. So,
okay.
And there are 10,000 people in New York State waiting on the list right now. One of the things that has happened is that there are more live donors people are giving one of their kidneys, and you can live very well with just 20% of one of your kidneys. So it's not always people that are related. Of course, siblings would be the best match, but I've had spouses and a stepfather and all kinds of people that were matches that were able to give. So that's helping the shortage a little bit, but we still need to get more people signed up as donors.
Great.
So one donor can save or enhance up to 50 lives.
Why is that?
Well, you've got your major organs, your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your pancreas, your liver. But then you have all the other things with the skin and the tissue and, you know, the eyes. That's all connected to that.
Okay.
So living kidney donors, as I said before, last year were 6,500, which is really on the rise. So 90% of Americans say they support donation, but only 30% of them know how to go about doing it and actually take the steps to go and do that.
Well, now that's the reason why we're here right now, isn't it?
Correct. Yes,
okay.
It is.
All right.
Yes, it is.
So let's talk a little bit about myths. There are some people that they think that there's this myth about organ and tissue donation that they're misinformed about. So let me give you an example of one.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, I don't need to tell my family because I will carry a donor card and agree to a donation in my will. No, that's why they don't want to do it. Is that a myth?
Well, it is a myth because you have to have your family on board with it. When things happen, they happen very, very quickly.
Okay.
Kidneys can wait a little while to be like almost up to 48 hours, but hearts and lungs have to be transplanted very quickly. So you can't say, I need to call the family lawyer to see what's in the will. You need to either have it on your license, on your healthcare proxy, or your family need to know.
You know what? We're going to do a couple more myths. We have another break coming up, but actually, after the break, we are going to have a gentleman named Sean who is going to call in and talk to us about his transplant process. So, but on the other side of the break, this is Health Matters by ANT Healthcare.
Are you an RN or an LPN, caregiver or aide, and want to be part of a first-class, full-service home healthcare agency? Then call ANT Healthcare at 845-638-4342. High standards of care from pediatric to adult patients need your TLC. You are dependable, compassionate, honest, and sensitive to the needs of others. Whether you are highly skilled or wanting to learn, ANT has the finest training program in the tri-state area. And if you'd like to be part of the number one home healthcare agency that makes a difference every day in so many lives, then call ANT Healthcare at 845-638-4342 today or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Dr. David Leach, the superintendent of the Warwick Valley Central School District and host of Your Schools. Listen every Monday at 12 noon to learn what's happening in your schools right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
This is Marina Case, principal designer of the Red Shutters in downtown Warwick. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 noon and join me for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ Weather.
Another warm day across the area, very pleasant with some clouds, though. Maybe a passing shower with the front moving through later. Highs in the low 70s. Tonight an early shower, otherwise becoming partly cloudy, breezy, and cooler down the 40. Mostly sunny, breezy, and chilly with a high in the mid-50s for tomorrow. Clear tomorrow night, lower 30s, and sunny and chilly on Saturday with a high staying in the mid-50s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo.
WTBQ
And we're back on Health Matters on WTBQ, brought to you by A&T Healthcare. On the phone now, we have a gentleman named Sean Wade. Sean actually received a kidney transplant a little over 6 months ago. He had been at the dialysis center in Kingston for about 12 years before he was able to finally get his transplant. And we thought it would be a good idea, since we're talking about this program, that we would talk to somebody that actually had been a participant in it. And so, Sean, thank you very much for calling into the show.
Oh, you're welcome, Jay. Good morning.
Morning. So, obviously, you know, like I just said, you've had a kidney transplant a little over 6 months ago. How have you been doing since then?
Oh, thanks for asking. I've been just doing great. You know, the recovery process takes time, but it has been a positive experience for me. You know, I'm feeling better than I have in a long time, and that's thanks to my transplant team, as well as, you know, the generosity of the organ donor and his family.
So I mentioned before that you were on dialysis for about 12 years. Can you kind of tell me a little bit about that and, you know, the process of going? I mean, I see that you live in the Catskills, so it's not around the corner for where you had to go.
No, it took me close to an hour to drive to treatment, and, you know, the weather was always an issue. And once I got there, you know, I had to wait my turn. I had to be hooked up to the dialysis machine, and I would have to sit there for about 3.5 hours so the machine could clean my blood. And, you know, I always felt so low on energy, and afterwards, I felt completely wiped out. Mm. You know, even on the best day, it was challenging and stressful, and there are always complications.
And then you had to drive home, you said, right?
Yeah, so it was like a full day's work, you know, it was like a job, really.
Did you work during the time?
No, I went to school periodically, but I just wasn't well enough to be able to hold down a full-time job.
Wow.
Even though I would have liked to.
Okay, so, you know, what if there were days that you just said, you know, today I just don't feel like going. I just can't do it.
Well, that was actually pretty much every day. But the truth is that, you know, kidney dialysis is life support. It's not, you know, just a simple treatment. It's something that's keeping me alive day to day. And if I missed a day, I would feel terrible and actually could compromise my health. And, you know, it just wasn't a thing I could do because I needed it so badly.
So take me back to the day. There obviously was that day that you got a call or you were in the dialysis unit and somebody said to you, "Hey, Sean, guess what?" Tell me about that day.
Sure. I actually been at dialysis, but I was already home having dinner, and the doctor, Dr. Sandolius from Albany, called me up and said, "You've got to come in. We've got a kidney." And this was actually the second time I was called, and they do usually call up multiple people for any kidney or any organ because they don't know for sure if it's going to match until you get there.
Okay.
So they also tell you, don't get your hopes up too high, because you might get called multiple times. But for me, the second time was the charm. So I went up, you know, I had all my pre-lab work done, and that was the one they gave me, you know, 6 months ago.
And so just tell me, like, I'm a social worker, I'm not going to lie, I'm an LMSW, so no. I'm all about feelings, and how does that make you feel? You know, that question that everybody, like, makes fun of, how did that make you feel? So, Sean, I actually want to ask you that question, like, tell me how you're feeling, like, talking to your family, like, what happened?
At the beginning, I know it's a very difficult process, and there's a lot that can happen, so for me, I really tried to just keep, you know, mellow and stay calm. And now that I'm about 6 months out, I have so much more energy, and I'm feeling so much better than I ever did. I'm really getting excited. You know, I'm happy that I can be productive again. I can start looking for a job, maybe going back to school. I'm just, you know, my horizons are opening up, and I'm just really excited to get out there.
And so did they give you, like, a prognosis if everything goes well? Like, what is the, the long-term, how long-term are you going to be doing?
So far, everything's been going great. It varies from person to person, and it's certainly much longer than it used to be. So keeping a kidney for 10 years used to be a very good situation. But, you know, nowadays with all the work that the academics are doing in the university hospitals, the new medications, and they follow you so closely that, I don't know, maybe it could be 20 years, maybe more.
Yeah, maybe up to 25, Sean.
I
would just like to say that what Sean was saying about going up there, they do testing to make sure you don't have an infection, to make sure everything is good. That's all the last-minute stuff, which followed a good 6 months of very rigorous testing for a lot of patients, including a stress test, a colonoscopy, all kinds of x-rays to make sure that they're healthy. So when you do donate organs, it's given to somebody who will do well with it because there's a lot of patients that are not medically eligible to receive it after going through that testing.
Absolutely. So. That's what I did, Marlene. Thank you. But in addition to that, the transplant team also made sure that I was willing to do what was necessary afterwards to take care of myself and the new kidney.
Right.
You know, this opportunity is not going to be offered to someone who's not going to be mindful of this gift. It would be an insult, you know, to the donor and their family. A donated organ is just too precious to waste.
Right. And that's one of the things that we monitor as transplant coordinator. If I have a patient who checks out medically but doesn't take their medication, doesn't follow their diet, I have to report that to the transplant center that they may not take their medications that, you know, will keep a person from rejecting the organ, which you have to take for a lifetime. They may not be compliant to doing that. So that's very important. And as you do on dialysis, well, you know, I have to report that to them. And you did everything very well. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're a model student.
You
Sean.
Are.
That's so nice. hey, Sean, quick question.
Sure.
What do you know about the person that donated the kidney? Anything about that person?
Oh, I know very little, a few details. Mostly just enough for me to be able to make an informed choice about how suitable this organ is for me personally. And the doctor has really just helped me out with that. So I don't know that much. And, you know, they try and keep it that way at the beginning.
Would there ever be an opportunity to meet with a donor or the family?
It's certainly possible. There are a number of safeguards in place to keep donors' families and recipients' families apart. You know, it just allows for some distance because one or more of the sides may not wish to participate in that. You know, over time, if either of us wishes, we can exchange letters, first through an intermediary, and if we choose, we can proceed and communicate more directly and even meet. And everyone is carefully protected, so you can stop at any time.
It's kind of like adoption. Yeah,
it
child,
is, right.
Child, you're adopting the kidney from him. is it something that you would like to do sometime, meet the mother of your kidney?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I would definitely want to express my gratitude to the donor's family. And then, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm still recovering, and a lot of things in my life are changing, and I'd like to, you know, connect with them in a more personal way, but, you know, maybe they might not want that, but I would be open to it, certainly.
So, Sean, you have the floor. You are a recipient of, and sounds like you're doing well as a result
Thank
of
you.
Organ and tissue donation. So
mm-hmm.
you have the floor. This is your opportunity to tell a whole bunch of people the reasons and if they should do it and the reasons why.
Oh, great. I think the question is, you know, should a person register to be an organ donor? And for me, I hope that everyone will consider it. I don't think it's an obligation, but it is an act of generosity on their part. You know, I imagine that for a family in the midst of a tragedy, such as the death of a loved one, organ donation is not forefront in their minds. It must be difficult, but I've been told that many families get an amount of comfort during such a time, knowing that their loved one is helping someone else in such a profound mm-hmm. way. One person's willing donation can be life-saving and life-changing for a large number of people, and their families, too. How many people, Marlene, did you say that one organ donor can help?
50.
50. I mean, it's incredible. You know, it's huge. And so I think that if someone makes the decision to be an organ donor after their death, they need to do two things. And it's very simple. They need to register their intention to be an organ donor in writing. And there are many ways, like you talked about earlier, that you can do that. And secondly, they need to discuss that choice with their family
right. So
that you're both on the same page and that when the moment comes, they know that's what you want.
Yeah, and towards the end of the show, we're going to give you a full account of exactly how you can do this process, or at least the website you can go to find out more information. So, Sean, listen, hey, I thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate you giving your time to talk about your experience. This is, I mean, it's great to actually hear it from a person that really was directly, you know, affected by this program. And I, you know, thanks once again for doing this.
You're welcome, Jay. I'm glad I could participate.
Thanks,
and,
Sean.
Marlene, I worked with her for such a long time, and she's great. So thank you, Marlene, for
thank you.
Everything.
How much did you pay him to say that?
Nothing.
Thanks, Sean.
Bye-bye.
All right.
So before Sean came on, we were talking about some myths about organ donation, and we didn't get to all the ones we wanted to do. So I'm going to go back to that for a little while. So here's one of the myths about donation. A lot of people that are religious, especially in different Orthodox religions, that kind of thing. A lot of people say, "Oh, wait, I can't donate. Donation's against my religion. I can't do it. Sorry."
Right.
Is that a true thing?
That is not a true thing. Every major organized religion supports donation and considers it an act of charity and love. The Vatican is very supportive because I know there are a lot of Catholics that say, I need to have my body intact when I die. People can use all kinds of excuses if they want to. And, you know, like Sean said, too, it's a decision to make. If you want to make it, fine. But religion is not something that you can say that you can't do it for. So.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this one? If you sign up for organ tissue donation, that your medical care is not going to be the same and it's going to suffer and they're not going to give you proper treatment because they know that you're signed up as a donor.
You know, I hear this one often and it really bothers me that people think that. People that don't care much for the medical community seem to feel that way. But believe me, I have seen every care given to somebody who is in the dying process, and that is never considered. And I think that anybody that feels that way would not feel comfortable doing it. But I know that care is good, and I also want to say that I work with somebody who worked in the OR for 30 years. And she has told me that the care that's given to the donor body is so priceless that it's handled with such care. And as you know, all those organs you see on TV are placed in the coolers and labeled, and everything is handled with reverence. So that does not happen.
Okay, great. So we're going to talk moving forward. We're going to talk a lot more about the process of how to go about becoming an organ and tissue donor. Obviously, it sounds like the myths that these people have sound. I mean, I don't want to sound negative, but it sounds like they don't want, like you said, they don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of, I wouldn't say the reason, but it's almost like the excuse.
The excuse,
you know. And you know what? Listen, hey, we're not sitting here telling you that 100% of the people in the world need to be organ donors. We're not here to tell you that. All we're here to say is that this is some of the information that we have for you. Is it for everybody? Of course not.
Right.
It's not every person in the world is not going to go out after today's show that hears the show and say, yes, that's it, I'm going to do it. Some people just, it's not for them.
Right.
And if it's not for you, we're not putting your arm behind your back.
Mm-hmm.
All we're doing is giving you the information. If it's something that you were on the fence about, if it's something that you wanted to do, you didn't know how, we're going to talk about that in a little while. But this is the opportunity to just get some information. So can you talk a little bit about what I just said as far as, you know, people being interested, that kind of thing?
Sure. The thing to do if you are interested is, again, I can't stress this enough for people to talk to their families. And everybody says it's such a hard thing to do, but you really need to do it. You need to have things in place. You know, I encourage people to have a power of attorney done, to have advance directives of living will if they know very specifically what things they want.
Now you're saying other terms now that we need to make sure that people understand. That's all. That's okay. I just want to be sure that we're throwing out the term living will. I want to be sure that they know what a living will is.
Right. I don't even have a living will.
What is it?
A living will is very specific to me. Say you don't want to have antibiotics given, or you don't want a tube feeding, or you know very specifically what you want. I did my healthcare proxy, and I made sure that the people that are my proxy people know exactly what I want.
Right. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the difference between a living will and a healthcare proxy, and then we'll talk about the process to sign up or get more information after the break. Once again, this is Health Matters on WTBQ, brought to you by A&T Healthcare.
You feel it all right.
A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric, high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Austin DuBois of Bluestein Shapiro, Rich and Barone. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for It's the Law and learn what the law is. Ask questions, get answers right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is David Dirks, the host of the Dirks Outdoor Show. Call in as we discuss everything for the outdoor sportsman every Saturday at 7 a.m. right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ.
Wow, I feel like these breaks get faster and faster every single time. They caught us off guard this time a little bit. So, okay. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about, you just mentioned living wills and healthcare proxies. We said before what a healthcare proxy is, and in case you missed it or in case you forgot, a healthcare proxy is a piece of paper that assigns one or more people to state what care you should have in the event that you're not able to do so. For instance, if you're in a coma, or if you're deemed by whatever the process is that you're not capable of making decisions for psychiatric reasons or whatever, that the healthcare proxy then will kick in, and that you've said to your people that you've assigned as a healthcare proxy that this is what I want. That's what a healthcare proxy is. It's people that you've said to them, if I become incapacitated, this is what I would like. And this is something that should be done basically when you're old enough to vote. I mean, and I've said this before in a past show, but I mean, I just want to reiterate, you know, I have people on my program. I talked about, you know, the waiver programs. I have people on my program that are in their 20s that have spinal cord injuries, have traumatic brain injuries, and they're not able to make decisions for themselves. When they were 18, 19 years old, however old they were, did they ever think that they would need a person to make healthcare decisions for them because they would be unable to because they would be incapacitated for whatever reason?
Right.
Did they ever think that? No. No. Now they do, or their family does. My point is that, you know, the healthcare proxy, just have somebody assigned. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a relative.
Right.
It could be your next door neighbor. If they say that they're willing to do it, then sign them up.
But talk to them first,
mm-hmm. Of course, if they're willing to do it. I just want to make that point because I think it's really important that, you know, working with people with traumatic brain injuries, you know, it really opens your eyes to things because at one day... they were walking and talking like you and I. And then the next day, they had a traumatic brain injury or were in a coma or whatever, and they couldn't do anything for themselves for the rest of their lives. And these people, the one guy we had was 19, I believe. I mean, he has a long life beyond 19 years with a traumatic brain injury, more than he will have without it. So, you know, these tasks, you know, they really should be done. Even if you don't do tissue and organ donation, even if you don't do anything else, you know, please do the healthcare proxy or ask about it because it's really important. That being said, I know that's a topic of a different show, but I really feel it's important as a social worker and as a person that works in healthcare. So what the other thing that was brought up before was we talked about living wills. A living will has nothing to do with money. I know people hear the word will and they automatically think, oh, that has to do with money. It has nothing to do with money. A living will, it's called, has to do with you writing down or typing out, whatever mm-hmm. you do, exactly what care you want if you're incapacitated, okay? Now, so you say in the living will, I don't want, like you were saying before, mm-hmm. Mom, I don't want antibiotics. Or you say, I don't want to be on a ventilator. Right. You write that in a living will. Or I want full life sustaining measures until, and if I'm a vegetable for 50 years, then that's what I want. Mm-hmm. You can write that.
And people say that, right?
You can not be intubated. That's another form too. But you can write that down on a living will. A living will is your words that you're signing to say, this is what I want to happen to me in the event that I am incapacitated, you know now. And because a living will is your words that you've signed, if a healthcare proxy says something different, if the living will is there, this is what you've said.
Okay. Correct.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, healthcare proxy will make decisions based on whatever they tell you or whatever they think that you want. But a living will is your own words. And so what I'm saying to you is that if that's something that you feel that you're interested in general, ask about it. You can always call me. I can point you in the right direction. I don't do them myself. I'm a social worker. That's not my task, but I can definitely find out information for you if you want, and I will make sure that you get the information that you need.
It's that important. That's the thing.
Right.
That important.
Like I said, no matter what, the healthcare proxy is number one. We kind of went back and forth with the myths thing, and I just wanted to, there's one more myth that I thought was really something that I've heard a lot. And I wanted to see what your take on was it. There's a myth out there that some people are just too old. Like, I'm too old to be a donor. You know, I want to be a donor. I think it's a great thing. I really want to do it. But, you know, I'm however old I am, and there's no way I could do it. What's your response?
Well, one of the things I tell my patients, because I try to do a healthcare proxy on every single patient that I have in my unit, I have about 130 right now. If you want to be a donor, an organ donor, let the doctors decide what or if they can use anything. That can be their decision. Don't say you're too old. Don't say, you know, you have heart disease or whatever. Let the doctors make that decision. They're really the ones to know. And as far as, you know, newborns could be, unfortunately, if there's a newborn that has passed away, they could be an organ donor if the family would let them do that. As far as a live donor goes, that has an age limit because you wouldn't want somebody who's 85 maybe to be your organ donor as a live donor. But for that, you'd have to be 18 years old. And one of the things Sean talked about was going up there the day he got the call, part of the testing and talking to the doctors was that kidney was a perfect match for Sean. So you can turn down a kidney if you get called for one, if you don't feel there's enough matches to make it really good for you. So I try to tell my younger patients that are in their 20s and 30s, get a good match because you're going to be around for a while. So.
Okay. So let's talk about the process of becoming an organ donor. If you want to sign up, there's different ways to sign up. Can you give me some of the ways?
Well, one thing, if you have any questions, is you can contact UNOS, United Network of Organ Sharing. That's the national network. Then there's the local ones for those four procurement centers. I happen to have the Donate Life one, www.donatelifecdt.org. Or there's a phone number, 1-800-256-7811. Again, the advanced directives that we've talked about many times. Getting it done on your DMV, when you go to renew your license, you can have it done. Get that little heart on the back there. That tells first responders that you are an organ donor. And again, they're going to do everything they can to save you. They're not going to say, oh, we have a body here. They want to be an organ donor, so let's do that. They're going to do everything in their power, right from the EMTs and paramedics, if you're in a car accident, to the ER doctors and right up the line. So I just want to reassure people that I just heard from somebody the other day that said one of their fears is of being cut open when they're alive. I could not believe that because that never crossed my mind. Although I do like horror films a bit, that never crossed my mind as far as a patient goes, right?
Yeah, well, it is Halloween time, right?
It is Halloween time. So you must be declared brain dead by two physicians. Normally you're on some kind of life support, and they will keep that going until they're ready to do the organ donation. So family has time to be with the patient, to, you know, say goodbyes, and it can take some time if you feel the need to do that. They will then harvest the organs very carefully after the life support has been turned off, but it doesn't happen the way some people feel it does. So it's, and please don't have that fear. But again, if that's your overwhelming fear, then you're not a person to sign up for organ donation. So,
and when in doubt, Google is a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, even if you say, well, there's no way I'm going to remember the, that process. You can just say, you know what, go on Google and see what they say. Let me tell you a couple of things that we learned today. What number one is that, you know, first and foremost, if you're an organ donor, you know, they're going to make every attempt to save you.
Correct.
Just because you're an organ donor doesn't mean that you're going to not have the process of trying to be saved. So please keep that in mind. And if you have another question about that, talk to somebody else, and, you know, don't just talk to us about it and just to take our word for it. Find out some more information. Do some research. As far as being too old, you know, you're never too old to donate. It's just a matter of where you are in the process of life. So if you're interested at all, ask the question. Mm-hmm. Just ask the question. If you have a child that could donate because something's wrong, you know, I feel so bad for you, but maybe there's some good that can come out of it. You know, find out some more information from your doctor about it. And, you know, and finally, you know, and most importantly, you know, they're not, you know, you're gonna be doing a wonderful thing for somebody, or maybe 50 somebodies. Right. I mean, the great part about organ donation is it, you know, you're not limited, and, you know, the chance of actually being used are probably not even that high.
Right.
Because it has to be a very specific situation you're in.
Correct.
In order for your organs to even be used. Mm-hmm. Not that should be a reason to do it or not do it, but you can bear that in mind. The reason why we're here today, once again, is to give you the information. You know, we talked to Sean. Sean gave you a story of somebody who was affected. You hear a lot about people, well, I don't know if I should do it from that side, but, well, here, he told you the story of how it affected him, you know, as a donor recipient.
Right.
That was a great story. Just and he's only one of thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are affected every day.
I love when my patients come back, their colors improved, their energy's improved. It's so good to see them. It's just amazing they come back and just to see everyone. But right. Yeah.
So once again, this is Health Matters. It is brought to you by A&T Healthcare. We are a home health agency, provide services throughout the Hudson Valley, five boroughs, New Jersey. My name is Jay Gamir. I am the director of NHTD and TBI Waiver Services. If you have any questions for me, please feel free to call me in my Kingston office, 845-331-7868. And next week, I got good news. Next week, Peter and Ann will be back. They'll be back from floating out in the middle of the Atlantic someplace. I am so jealous, I have to tell you. So jealous. I wish it was me out there. But hey, you know, they deserve the vacation. They're here. They've been here every week since we've been doing this, and it's been a while now. So, you know, God bless them. And I'm glad Anne's my supervisor, so I'm glad she's coming back, because I've been a little lost without her, I'm not going to lie. Not that the Babingtons aren't wonderful people, but I love having Anne around. And so please definitely give us a call if you have any questions. And once again, this was Health Matters, because your health does matter, on WTBQ, presented by A&T Healthcare.